Welcome to Zichu Daf Simanim. I'm Rabbi Avram Goldhar, and today we're Masechet Pesachim, Daf Kuftez Zayin, the 10th parak, Arvei Pesachim. So the three topics we're going to focus on. Number one, the next Mishnah states, Mazgu lo kosheni. They mixed and poured for him a second cup of wine, v'kana ben shol aviv. And here the son asks his father. The Rosh Hashanah explains that the son asks why the father is pouring a second cup of wine before eating, to which the father answers with, avadim hayinu, we were slaves to Paro in Mitzrayim. According to the Rashbam, there's no need to recite the Manishtana since the question was asked. The Mishnah continues, V'im ein das beben avim melamdo, and if the son doesn't have sufficient understanding, the father teaches him to ask Manishtana. Now it's taught in the Braisa, Chochem beno shalva, if his son is intelligent enough to ask the Manishtana, the son asks him. V'im eino chochem ishto shalto, but if the son is not intelligent enough, his wife asks him. V'im lav, who shol latzmo? And if his wife doesn't ask the questions, then he asks them to himself. V'afil shnei talmid chachamim, sheyodi mechilchas pesach, and even two talmid chachamim, who are proficient in hilchas pesach, sholin ze lezeh, must ask one another. Point number two, the Mishnah stated, maschil b'gnus m'sai b'shevach. The father begins Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim with Bnei Yisrael's disgrace, and he concludes with Bnei Yisrael's glory. The Gemara asks, my b'gnus, what is meant by beginning the narrative with Yisrael's disgrace? Rav said, "Metchila ovdei avodos gilulim hayu avoseinu." We recite, originally our ancestors were idol worshippers, and Shmuel said, "Avedim hayinu." We recite, we were slaves to Paro Mitzrayim. The Shevach would be understood to be the reverse image of their interpretations of Gnus. According to Rav, the Shevach would refer to our coming close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu's service, whereas according to Shmuel, it referred to proclaiming all the miracles and wonders that brought about our deliverance. The Haggadah contains both interpretations. And point number three, the next Mishnah states, Rabbi Gamliel would say, Koshu l'amr shloshu devarim elu b'pesach u'yat yidei chovaso. Whoever did not say these three things on Pesach night has not fulfilled his chiyuv. Eloheim, Pesach, Matzah, Umara. They are Pesach, Matzah, and the Mara. The Rashbam says that this refers to explaining the reasons for these three mitzvahs, and the Rambam says that the chiyuv Rabbi Gamliel is referring to is the mitzvah of Sipur Yetzias Yisrael. Rav said, Matzah tzarach l'hagbiyah, Umara tzarach l'hagbiyah. One must lift up the matzah and show it to the others when reciting the reason for eating matzah, and one must lift up the mara and do the same. Basar ain't tzarach l'hagbiyah. However, one need not lift up the meat when explaining the mitzvah pesach, and not only is it not required to raise the meat, but if one would do so, he'd give the appearance of eating kachim that was shechted outside the base of Migdash. So once again, the 3 points are number one. The next Mishnah states, Mazgu lo kos sheni. They mixed and poured for him a second cup of wine, v'chana ben shol avi. And here, the son asks his father. Rashbam explains that the son asks why the father is pouring a second cup of wine before eating, to which the father answers with, avadim hayinu, we were slaves to Paro Mitzrayim. According to the Rashbam, there is no need to recite the Manishtana since the question was asked. The Mishnah continues, v'im ein das beben avi melamdo. And if the son does not have sufficient understanding, the father teaches him to ask Manishtana. Now it's taught in a brace of Chochem b'no shalva. If his son is intelligent enough to ask the Manishtana, the son asks him, V'im eino chochem ishto shalto. But if his son is not intelligent enough, his wife asks him, V'im lav hu shol la'atzmo. And if his wife does not ask the questions, then he asks him to himself, V'afil shnei talmid chachamim sheyodim b'hilchos pesach, and even two talmid chachamim who are proficient in hilchos pesach, sho'olin ze lezeh, must ask one another. Point number two, the Mishnah stated, Maschil b'gnus m'sayim b'shevach. The father begins Sipur Yetziv Sisraim with Bnei Yisrael's disgrace, and he concludes with Bnei Yisrael's glory. The Gemara asks, my b'gnus, what is meant by beginning the narrative with Yisrael's disgrace? So Rav said, Metchila ovdei avodos gilulim hayu avoseinu. We recite, originally, our ancestors were idol worshippers, and Shmuel said, avadim hayinu. We recite, we are slaves to Paro in Mitzrayim. The Shevach would be understood to be the reverse image of their interpretations of Gnus. According to Rav, the Shevach would refer to our coming close to Kodesh Baruch Hu's service, whereas according to Shmuel, it referred to proclaiming all the miracles and wonders that brought about our deliverance. The Haggadah contains both interpretations. And point number three, the next Mishnah states, Rav Gamliel would say, whoever did not say these three things on Pesach night has not fulfilled his chiyuv. Pesach, Matzah, Amara. They are Pesach, Matzah, Amara. The Rashbam says that this refers to explain the reasons for these three mitzvahs, and the Rambam says that the Chiyuv Rabban Gamliel is referring to as the mitzvah of Sipur Yetzias Yisrael. Rav said, Matzah tzarach l'hagbiyah, umar tzarach l'hagbiyah. One must lift up the matzah and show it to the others when reciting the reason for eating matzah, and one must lift up the mar and do the same. Basar ain't tzarach l'hagbiyah. However, one need not lift up the meat when explaining the mitzvah of Pesach, v'lo'od ela shenira ka'ochu kachim b'chutz. And not only is it not required to raise the meat, But if one would do so, he would give the appearance of eating kudshim that was shechted outside the Beis HaMikdash. All right, so now we go to our sim for Daf Kuf Tet Zayin, and this sim was suggested to us by Menashe Reuven Weiss from Yerushalayim and Aaron Warsaw from Queens. They both suggested Kuf Tet Zayin is a barber giving haircuts. So here goes. The barber told his wife, who asked the four questions, that originally the Jews had long straggly hair in Mitzrayim, but left with the hair washed, styled, and cut, while he lifted up the matzahs high up in the air. Once again in slow motion. The barber, that must be on Daf Kuf Tet Zayin. The barber told his wife, who asked the four questions, which reminds the next mission states that they mix and poured for him a second cup of wine, the Chana ben Shol Aviv, and here the son asks his father. Rashbam explains that the son asks why the father is pouring a second cup of wine before eating, to which the father answers with Avadim Hayinu, we were slaves of Bar Mitzrayim. According to the Rashbam, there is no need to recite the Manishtana since the question was asked. The mission continues, and if the son doesn't have sufficient understanding, the father teaches him to ask Manishtana. And then it was taught in Braisa, if the son's a Chochem, then he asks. If he's not, his wife asks. And if his wife doesn't ask, who shall la'atzmu? Then he asks them to himself, Ba'afilu shnei talmei chachamim shiyodim hilchas ha-pesach, and even two talmei chachamim, or proficient hilchas ha-pesach, sho'olin zeh lezeh, must ask one another. So the barber told his wife, who asked the four questions, that originally the Jews had long, straggly hair in Mitzrayim, but left with their hair washed, styled, and cut, which reminds us the Mishnah state of Maschil B'gnus, Masayim B'Shevach. The father begins Sipur Yitzim Sitzrayim with Bnei Yisrael's disgrace, and he concludes it with Bnei Yisrael's glory. And the Gemara asks, what is the Gnus? So Rav said, Mitchila Ovdei Avodus Gilulim Hayu Avosenu. We recite, originally our ancestors were idol worshippers, and Shmuel said, Avedim Hayinu. We recite, we are slaves to Parah Mitzrayim. And the Shevach would be understood to be the reverse image of their interpretations of Gnus. According to Rav, the Shevach would refer to our coming close to Kosh Baruch Hu's service, whereas according to Shmuel, it would refer to proclaiming all the miracles and wonders that brought about our deliverance. And the Haggadah contains both interpretations. So the barber told his wife, who asked the four questions, that originally the Jews had a long, straggly hair in Mitzrayim, but left with the hair washed, styled, and cut, while he lifted the matzahs high up in the air. Which reminds us, the next Mishnah states, Rav Gamliel would say, whoever didn't say these three things on Pesach night has not fulfilled his chiyuv. Rashbam says that this refers to explaining the reasons for these three mitzvahs, and the Rambam says that the chiyuv Rav Gamliel was referring to is the mitzvah of Sipur Yitzim Tzitzrayim. Rava said one must lift up the matzah to show it to the others when reciting the mitzvah for eating matzah, and one must lift up the maror and do the same, but basar ain't sar kachbio. However, one need not lift up the meat when explaining the mitzvah of Pesach, and not only is it not required to raise the meat, but if one would do so, it would give the appearance of eating kudshim that was shechted outside the Beis HaMikdash. So once again, the barber told his wife, who asked the four questions, that originally the Jews had a long, straggly hair in Mitzrayim, but left with their hair washed, styled, and cut, while he lifted up the matzahs high up in the air. All right, now it's time for four blot back chazara. Daf Kuf Yud Beis. The Simra Kuf Yud Beis is a Rubik's Cube. So here goes. The poor Rubik's Cube teacher, Rubik's Cube, that must be on Daf Kuf Yud Beis. The poor Rubik's Cube teacher who treated his Shabbos like chol sold his last Rubik's Cube to purchase abrikosos of the Seder, which reminds us the Mishnah taught that even an ani who's supported from the Tamchui must fulfill the mitzvah to drink the abrikosos. The Gemara explains the lesson of the Mishnah that even according to Rabbi Kiva, who says, Aseh Shabbos chol v'al tistarach habrios, make your Shabbos like a weekday and do not be dependent on other people, hach mishum parsimonisa mode. Here, because of publicizing the miracle, he agrees. In other words, even though Rabbi Kiva maintains that one should not accept staka in order to honor Shabbos, one should do so in order to drink four cups of wine at the Seder and thereby publicize the miracle of Yetzias Yisrael. So the poor Rubik's Cube teacher who treated his Shabbos like chol sold his last Rubik's Cube to purchase abrikosos of the Seder, as well as a book for his young son, Free of Mistakes, which reminds us that when Rabbi Kiva was in prison, he told Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai five pieces of advice, one of which was, Kedushat Melamed Bincha Lamdeu B'Sefer Muga. When you teach your son, teach him about the Sefer that has been corrected and is therefore free of mistakes. Rava and some say Rav Masharshi explained that specifically Bechadita, when teaching new material, it is imperative that one use a book that is free of mistakes because Shabashta, Kevinda, all. Once a mistake enters a child's mind, it enters and it's hard to correct. So the poor Rubik's Cube teacher, who treated his Shabbos like chol, sold his last Rubik's Cube to purchase abrikosos for the Seder, as well as a book for his young son, Free of Mistakes, titled Travel Tales of Terror on Tuesday and Friday Night. Which reminds us, it was taught in a braisa that one should not go out alone at night on Tuesday nights or on Friday nights, because Agras Bas Machlas, a female demon, and 18 myriads of destructive angels go out there. The Gemara explains that these were prevalent every night until Agras Bas Machlas encountered Rabbi Kim Mendoza. She told him, if not for the fact they announced in Shemayim, beware of Hanina and his Torah, I would have endangered you. So he told her, if I am held in esteem in Shemayim, then I decree upon you that you never pass through populated areas again. When she begged him to reconsider, he allowed her to go out on Tuesday nights when villagers do not need to travel to the city the night before for Torah readings or travel home the next day, and Friday nights when people are not permitted to travel. Daf Kuf Yud Gimel. So the Simra Kuf Yud Gimel is a geek. A geek. So here goes. The geeky bachelor. Geeky? That must be on Daf Kuf Yud Gimel. The geeky bachelor who lived in the big city for years, which reminds us, there are three people about whom HaKadosh Baruch Hu announces their virtue every day. About a bachelor who lives in a large city where temptations are common and he doesn't sin. About a poor man who returns a lost object that he finds to his owner. And about a rich man who takes miser from his produce in private and thus avoids flaunting his wealth. So the geeky bachelor who lived in the big city for years was in shock. He got lashed for testifying alone about his neighbor. Which reminds the Gemara brings a list of three people HaKadosh Baruch Hu hates. Hamadabra echod bepeh ve'echod bolev. One who says one thing with his mouth while meaning another in his heart. One who knows testimony about his friend but doesn't testify on his behalf. And one who sees that his friend committed an aver involving a rias and testifies about him alone without a second witness. And the Gemara illustrates the last case with the story of Zigud, who testified alone about Tuvia before her papa. When her papa had Zigud lashed, Zigud asked, Tuvia chata v'zigud mingad? Tuvia sinned and Zigud is lashed? Her papa told him that two witnesses were required for Beis Din to act, and he testified alone, and therefore he's just merely defaming him, meaning that he's being mosti shemra about him. Rabbi Shmuel bar Rav Yitzhak says in the name of Rav, mutter l'sanoso, the lone witness is allowed to hate the person who did the aver, and he bruises from the pasuk. Rav Nachman bar Yitzhak says, mitzvah l'sanoso. It's a mitzvah to hate him in such a case, as it says in the pasuk, yiras Hashem, snos ra, fear of Hashem is hatred of evil. So the geeky bachelor who lived in the big city for years was in shock. He got lashed for testifying alone about his neighbor, who was an arrogant pauper that no one could understand. Which reminds, the Gemara brings a list of four people who behave in a way the mind cannot tolerate. Rashbam explains that people cannot understand their behavior, and Rashi explains that even the perpetrators regret their own actions eventually and are ashamed of themselves. A pauper who is haughty, a rich man who denies a valid financial claim against them, an old man who commits adultery, and a communal leader who imposes himself upon the community for no reason. Rashbam explains that he enjoys the honor his position brings him, but he doesn't help his community in their hour of need. Daf Kuf Yud Dalet. So the symbol of Kuf Yud Dalet is a kiddie amusement park. So here goes. The mock satyr at the kiddie amusement park. Kiddie amusement park? That must be run Daf Kuf Yud Dalet. The mock satyr at the kiddie amusement park got out of hand when some children started fighting over which bracha to say first at Kiddush. Which reminds, Beis Shammai says that one says the bracha on the day Kiddush first, and then he says the bracha on the wine. Whereas Beis Hillel says he says the bracha on the wine first at Kiddush, and then he says the bracha on the day. A Bryce explains that Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel each have two reasons for the position. Beis Shammai say Kiddush comes first because the day causes the wine to come. Rashbam explains that it's only because it's Yantav that wine is being drunk before the meal, and the day was already sanctified before the wine came to the table. Beis Hillel say the Borei Priya Gavon comes first because the wine causes Kiddush to be said. Rashbam explains that one cannot say Kiddush without either wine or bread. And also, Birchas Yain Tadir, Birchas Yom Eina Tadir, Tadir V'Sheinu Tadir, Tadir Kodem. Alternatively, the bracha over wine is frequent and the bracha over the day is not frequent. And the rule is, in a case of a frequent thing and an infrequent thing, the frequent thing comes first. So the mock seder at the kiddie amusement park got out of hand when some children started fighting over which bracha to say first at Kiddush, while others wouldn't stop dipping. Which reminds us, the Gemara discusses why the Mishnah requires lettuce to be brought from Maror if lettuce was already eaten for karpas, and why we do not say that the mitzvah of Maror was already fulfilled then. Reish Lakish says, Zos omeris mitzvos srichas kavana. This teaches that mitzvahs need kavana, meaning it's because the lettuce eaten as karpas was not eaten with intent to fulfill the mitzvah of Maror that the mitzvah was not fulfilled, and lettuce must be eaten again specifically as Maror. The Gemara dismisses this proof by suggesting a different explanation for lettuce being eaten a second time after the mitzvah of Maror was fulfilled during karpas. So that there will be a distinguishing factor for the children. Rashbam explains that eating lettuce a second time will provoke children to ask questions, as it's unusual to eat vegetables twice during a meal. So the mock seder at the kiddie amusement park got out of hand when some children started fighting over which bracha to say first at Kiddush, while others wouldn't stop dipping, splashing water all over too. Cooked foods. Which reminds us, the Gemara elaborates on the Mishnah statement that shnei tafshilin are brought. My shnei tafshilin, what constitutes two cooked items? Among the opinions the Gemara cites is that of Rav Yosef, who says, sarich shnei minei basar, echad zechel pesach, ve'echad zechel chagiga. One must have two types of meat. One is a commemoration of the Karban Pesach, and another as a commemoration of the Karban Chagiga. And the Rosh Hashanah explains that this is the Chagiga that was brought together with the Karban Pesach. The other views accept that Shnei Tavshilin commemorate these two Karbanas, but argue that foods other than meat also achieve this. Daf Kuftez Vav. So the Simur Kuftez Vav is a katoris maker. So here goes. The katoris maker, who had an exceptional sense of smell and taste and made sure to savor his matzah and maror separately, was aghast when he saw the one leading the seder swallow them whole after the table had been removed from in front of him. Once again, in slow motion. The katoris maker, that must be more Daf Kuftez Vav. The katoris maker, who had an exceptional sense of smell and taste, and made sure to savor his matzah and maror separately, which reminds us, the Gemara says a man should not wrap matzah and maror together and eat them, because we hold that matzah is a mitzvah deraisa, even nowadays, and maror is a mitzvah derabana nowadays, in the absence of the Karban Pesach. Masi maror derabana mevatling le matzah deraisa. So if they're eaten together, the maror derabana will come and nullify the matzah deraisa. And the Rashbam explains that the taste of the matzah will be nullified. And the Gemara explains that even the manda amar, who generally holds that mitzvos ein mevatel zo azo, mitzvos do not nullify each other, agrees that a mitzvah derabanan does nullify a mitzvah deraisa. The Rashbam explains that the argument to say that the two mitzvah foods generally do not nullify each other is that they are similar to each other in that they are both eaten in fulfillment of similar mitzvos. This isn't the case where one food is eaten for a mitzvah deraisa and the other for a mitzvah derabanan. And the Gemara identifies the man d'amar who holds mitzvos ein mevatel zo azo as Hillel, who would eat the Karban Pesach, Matzah, and Maror together. The Gemara concludes that because the Rabbanan argued with Hillel, and it was not stated whom the halakha follows, Matzah and Maror should be eaten separately with brachos, and then together without brachos, Zechu Mikdash Kehillel, as a commemoration of the base of Mikdash, according to Hillel. So the katoris maker, who had an exceptional sense of smell and taste, and made sure to savor his Matzah and Maror separately, was aghast when he saw the one leading the Seder swallow them whole, which reminds us, the Rav says, Bala Matzah Yatza, Bala Maror Yatza. If one swallowed matzah, he fulfilled the mitzvah. But if one swallowed maror, he did not fulfill the mitzvah. And the Rashbam explains that the Gemara refers to swallowing matzah and maror whole without chewing them. Eating this way is acceptable for the mitzvah matzah, which must be simply be eaten, but not the mitzvah maror, whose bitter taste must be sensed to commemorate bimaru as chayem, and they embitter their lives. If he wrapped them in bats, material that grows around a palm tree, and swallowed them whole, he didn't even fulfill the mitzvah of matzah. And the Rashbam explains that neither the matzah nor the maror are considered to have been in the person's mouth, and his swallowing them is no more than an act of eating than throwing a stone into a bag is. So the katoris maker, who had an exceptional sense of smell and taste, and made sure to savor his matzah and maror separately, was aghast when he saw the one leading the seder swallow them whole, after the table had been removed in front of him. Which reminds the reason to remove the table that was in front of the person who would lead the Seder and say the Haggadah is Kadeshi Akiro Tino Kazuyushawu. So the children will notice and ask about the unusual behavior. The Rashbam notes that nowadays when everyone sits together at one large table and it would be impractical to remove it, we simply move away the Seder plate containing the matzah maror and the two cooked items. And the Gemara tells the time of Abai saw the table being removed from in front of Rabba and said, we didn't eat yet and they're coming to remove the table from before us. And Rabba told them, Patartim Melomer Manishtana, you exempted us from saying Manishtana. The Rashbam explains that the requirement that someone ask about the different things done in the Seder was fulfilled through Abai's question. All right, now it's time to conclude our pop quiz of 10 questions plus 3 bonus questions from Maseches Brachos, Shabbos, and Erevin. Number 1. Which daf do Melchos Beis Shem Beis Hillel regarding which comes first at Kiddush, the brach on the yom or the yain? That's on daf Kuf Yadal. Good. Number 2. Which daf do we learn that one of the four people whose behavior is difficult to understand is a pauper who acts in a haughty manner? That's on daf Kufyud Gimel. Good. Number 3. Which daf do you learn that the matzahs and the maros are lifted at the Seder, but the meat is not? That's on daf Kuftez Zayin. Good. Number 4. Which daf do you learn the reason for removing the table or the Seder plate in front of the one leading the Seder is to get the children to ask questions? That's on daf Kuftez Vav. Good. Number 5. Which daf do you learn, according to Rav Yosef, the Shnei Tavshilin are two pieces of meat, one representing the Pesach and one for its Chagiga? That's on daf Kuf Yadal. Good. Number 6. Which daf do we learn that if the son isn't intelligent enough to ask Manishtana, the wife asks, or he asks himself? That's on daf Kuftez Zayin. Good. Number 7. Which daf do we learn that matzah and maror should not be eaten together because a mitzvah is mevatel zo ezo? That's on daf Kuftez Vav. Good. Number 8. Which daf do we have a Malchokas Rav and Shmuel regarding what is considered maskil b'gnus masayim b'shavach? That's on daf Kuftez Zayin. Good. Number 9. Which daf do we learn the reason for being tovel twice is to get the children to ask questions? That's on daf Kuf Yadal. Good. And number 10. Which daf do we learn that one should not testify against someone regarding a Dvar Erva as a single witness? That's on daf Kuf Yud Gimel. Good. Now the 3 bonus questions. Number 1. Which daf do we discuss Tamas Chus Avos? That's on daf Nun Hay and Shav is good. Number two, which of the one that source that a measuring rope is 50 amos? That's on Daf. Nun Ches and Erev and good. And number three, which Daf do we discuss taking shortcuts through the shul? That's on Daf. Samach Beis and Brachas. Excellent. All right, that concludes the pop quiz. This is Rabbi Avraham Goldman Zichu wishing you a great day and great learning.